with the whisper.
It seems that there's a bit of friction between Joe Root and the senior bowlers in particular.
This fantastic but troubled player who causes us difficulties time and again.
If you've got the best record one-on-one when it comes to Roger Federer, he's got the best head-to-head record against Rafa Nadal, and if he surpasses those players with Grand Slam titles, then he has to be the GOAT.
I wouldn't say that I'm religious at all, Matt, far from it, but I just like the fact there's not a lot on. I can see the point of view and the argument for it, but I would prefer not to race on Good Friday.
On RSN Central, welcome to the Thursday Forum.
We're heading to Melbourne Park to catch up with the Herald Sun, Scotty Gallen, for our forum on this Thursday. Good morning to you, Scotty.
Morning, Gareth. I haven't left. I just left under the desk. What a circus that was.
Did you have to cover the mixed doubles as well?
No, I bid them farewell and just stood in a taxi line for an hour waiting with everyone else trying to get away from the precinct.
Okay, Gareth. So doesn't the Herald Sun have a driver for you?
Yeah, he had the night off, which was a setback. So, but what as a journalist, as you know,
did you have a deadline?
What's I had that story written. Felix was winning. It's all good. New face, new star. And then, well, just 4 hours and 40 minutes, I finally got the press stand, and it was a completely different story.
Oh, that is disappointing. Felix Auger-Aliassime taking on Daniil Medvedev, and Felix, a young Canadian, just blew him off the court in the first couple of sets, and he had his opportunities, especially in that fourth set when he had the one match point, but that was on Medvedev's serve. Yeah. And he had several opportunities as well on Medvedev's serve in the fourth set and also in that fifth set, but he couldn't convert those break points.
Well, what he did, I mean, a lot of there's a lot of fans of tennis in Melbourne and Australia who like it but don't zone in a lot. They wouldn't have known much about Felix. They do now. Like, he's a Grand Slam winner ready to go. If he doesn't win one the next couple of years, I'd be very surprised. So they got to find out about this kid, 21-year-old Canadian, athletic, powerful, just great to watch. And then Medvedev, who's this... Yeah, either love him or you hate him a bit. He's this Russian crazy man who just does weird things but found a way and... He was in all sorts of trouble at different points of that match.
He's got a little bit of Djokovic about him, Medvedev, and he even said that after the match when he was interviewed by Jimmy Courier. He said, well, Jim goes, what do you do? What goes through your mind when you're two sets to love down? And he goes, this is not going to be very popular. But I was thinking, what would Novak be thinking? And he's got a bit like, he's hard to like. And I respect Medvedev, but he's hard to barrack for in a way.
Well, he just, he was, the roof was annoying him. He has to play on that. Kyrgios used to a little bit, and Djokovic does too, They look for something little just in their mindset to get him going, but he's always whinging about something. But his game was, he was serving bad. There was a lot of double faults at the wrong time. So he was under pressure. But I'm with you, I'm not sure whether I can actually embrace him. I'm not sure.
No. I'm with Tsitsipas in that semi-final. He
looked good.
He did, didn't he? He looked in trouble in his fourth round match, but then in the quarter final, he started to really hit his straps. So early on in his fourth round match, he looked in trouble. Then he found his rhythm, but he continued on that good form at the back end of his fourth round match into that quarter final, because Sinner's got big raps on him, the young Italian. But Tsitsipas just looked like... Roger Federer there.
Well, I mean, we've been riding him for a few years. He became our stalactite man down there in Lonsdale Street with the Sizzler. We do love Stefanos, and we've been waiting a bit. I think we jumped on him a bit early. He wasn't quite ready. Now he looks everything like a Grand Slam winner. So that'll be massive. Semi on the other side, Berrettini v Nadal, which is going to be a pretty good match as well.
Yeah. No, I think it's set up perfectly for the back end of the Australian Open, both on the men's and women's side. So you've got Tsitsipas at $3, Medvedev at $1.40. Maybe Tsitsipas is the value there because he was off the court nice and early. Medvedev had to, stay just over 4 hours there last night. But he's still the strong favourite, the Russian, at $1.40. And then Berrettini at $2.50 and Nadal at $1.53. And Rafa had to fight really hard to win his quarterfinal, where Berrettini I was barracking for Gael Monfils in his quarterfinal or his fourth round match, and I thought Gael was home and away when he hit back in the third and fourth sets, and then he had all of the momentum, and then Berrettini put his foot down. But Jesus, Berrettini's a lot to like about him. He's the male model that's sponsored by Hugo Boss that can serve
with an Aussie.
Yeah,
so we love it.
Yeah, he's. It wouldn't bother me if he defeated Nadal, but I think everybody looking at the final four will be cheering on Rafa.
Oh, yeah, we need Rafa. I mean, for all the hullabaloo about Djokovic, he was coming down here to try and break the 20 Grand Slams. They're all tied on 20. If Rafa could sneak it off, when it's probably least expected. I mean, he had injury cloud coming in. No one was really thinking he was ready. He proved his hand, and he lost 4 kg of sweat. Yeah, that's not bad.
Yep.
In a couple of hours' work. I wish I could get on that program.
I know. He did look crook, but however, Rafa.
Yeah, a bit of heat stroke.
Yeah, but he found a way. The champ. What about Ash Barty? She takes on Madison Keys tonight. And it's a big day for the Australians. We have the special K team of Kokkinakis and Kyrgios in their semi-final in the men's doubles. And then Dylan Allcott in his semi-final. And then we...
Final
for Dylan.
Yeah.
And then we have Ash Barty taking on Madison Keys. Now, Madison Keys, I was trying to put a comparison to the people out there. She was a superstar, and then she couldn't get a game in Country Week tennis for Courtney Walsh's team at Swan Hill. She did not win a game last year, and then all of a sudden she's found her mojo once again.
This is you're not the only one. The women's game shows up these sort of people because they have like comets. They arrive, they win a Grand Slam, and they look like the next Serena, and they disappear again. They have all sorts of issues. The only problem for Ash is it's a tough matchup in the sense that Keys hits the ball hard, and if she gets hot, she's one of those players. It's like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
But Ash is absolutely sublime. Her coach said she hasn't reached her best yet yesterday, which is hilarious. I know what he was trying to say. He's just, he's finding ways to win. She hasn't lost a set. She's only lost one service game out of 70-odd or something.
Yeah.
She is absolutely prime. Keys is more of a danger than whoever she plays in the final, if that makes sense.
Okay,
if she gets through this, she's an absolute moral on Saturday night.
Yep.
So just have everything you got on her on Saturday night. Just got to get through Keys. If Keys is hot, I get concerned.
So it's like the preliminary final when you're taking on Richmond or the Melbourne Storm. If you win this match, you're basically home and hose. It was a bit like the Bills and Kansas City match in the Super Bowl. Whoever won that match will be winning the Super Bowl. That's what the experts tell me anyway, Scotty. So,
oh, no, it was hard to argue that.
Yeah, so if Ash Barty can defeat Madison Keys, and look out. What about Kyrgios and your time following the game of tennis? Because I know that you love it there at Melbourne Park. So Kokkinakis and Kyrgios. So I did tweet this the other day, which got a mixed reaction from my thousands of followers when I mentioned that a men's doubles match took preference over a quarterfinal match that was going into a fifth set that featured one of the greats of all time in Rafa Nadal. So they were pushed to Channel 9 Gem or Mate, whatever they have, and we were watching the doubles match on the main channel before the news. Now, in the history of the game, that would never have happened.
Never, ever, ever.
Yeah.
These two have saved the tournament. I mean, Ash Barty's done her role, but we sort of expected that. But Tennis Australia should be giving these guys doubles because, let's be honest, if they weren't doing their thing, what would we be getting up and about this week? Ash, yes, nothing else.
No.
Like, the men's are nice matches, but there's nothing to get crowds, Australia, so hyped. These two, one of them a former bad boy or whatever you want to think, Tanasi and his great comeback, they have been the best thing that's happened in this tournament.
I remember growing up, Anna Kournikova had that power. Remember people used just to go to watch the tennis just to watch Anna Kournikova.
Correct.
But now they're going to the tennis to watch Kyrgios and Kokkinakis, even if you weren't interested in tennis. And made me think, at Melbourne Park this year, who are the top five attractions for the people and the fans to watch this year at Melbourne Park? And I had Ash Barty on top just from Kyrgios and Kokkinakis. And then it is daylight for third for mine. Maybe I'm putting Nadal probably in for third. Yeah, and then daylight for fourth.
Totally correct.
Yeah.
And how about these no-name doubles guys whinging about the behaviour of our boys? Because, they like playing their little doubles on the side court, not getting flustered and beating another no-name person and getting all excited.
Poor old Michael Venus, the Kiwi. God bless the Kiwis. And we love Michael Venus. Oh, we love the New Zealanders, but yeah, please. This is your chance to shine. And Michael was mouthing off as a little bit as well, especially when they took out that second set. He was trying to pump up himself and his partner, and the crowd were against him. The world was against him, and he had... Unfortunately, that was the environment that he found himself in, and he didn't get the job done, poor old Venus. So,
Michael, I mean, you're on Broadway now. You've been off Broadway. Yeah. These two have brought you into the bright light. Do not whinge and start saying, oh, they're knobs. Yeah. Come on, mate. Come on.
Now, we would not be mentioning you on RSN Central, Michael, if you didn't play Kokkinakis or Kyrgios. But I wish him the best of luck. And it would be a little bit intimidating, but I think I would enjoy that particular environment.
Exactly. It's different to what they're used to. Like they don't get neglected to a degree, and here's your time.
Yep.
And you're lost.
Unfortunately, we won't get to see the Kiwis take on the Australians in the Davis Cup.
No.
We'll take a quick break. It's 10:49. We'll come back and talk some racing and cricket with Scotty Gallen. You're with Gareth Hall as well. This is the Thursday Forum, and love to hear your opinion as well. And all things sport, 0416 90 50 52 to join our conversation. 0416 90 50 52 to join our conversation on the Thursday Forum this morning. Gareth Hall and Scotty Gallen with you. Let's talk some cricket. The Big Bash final now will be between the two powerhouses of the competition for the last decade. The Scorchers have won 3 titles in the last 10 years, and so have the Sydney Sixers. And they'll play the final at Marvel Stadium here in Melbourne. But, Scotty, the Sixers have no players left, basically, and the Scorchers, it looks like Mitch Marsh will be right to play after an injury scare there with his ankle. So that means if Marsh plays and the Sixers have the players out that we expect that won't be playing, they should be $1.05, Scorchers.
First of all, we should have taken the $1.10 that these two would play in the granny 2 months ago. We knew that would going
to
happen.
Well, I backed the Sixers, and I feel a little bit sick right now because I feel hard done by anyway.
So when's the final go?
Friday night.
So Josh Phillippe's COVID isn't up by then, so he's still out.
So he'll be stuck in his hotel room or wherever he's isolating. Jordan Silk's done a hamstring. Daniel Hughes, he might play, but he'll be 60% at best, yeah. Moses Henriques has done something. He's done a hamstring or a thigh. He was limping badly. Like, if he was a horse, he definitely wouldn't be put on the float. If he was in the Melbourne Cup, they would have scratched him by now, so he's definitely out. Jackson Bird won't play. So they've got their assistant coaches that are playing for the Sixers.
He goes up, right?
Sorry, mate, you're just breaking up a little bit there.
Wasn't he assistant coach?
Yeah, yep. He's the wicketkeeper. He has to replace Josh Phillippe. So he... He came in there, so there was a little bit of controversy there last night. I know that you were at the tennis there, Scott.
Oh, of course, I did see what happened here.
Yeah, so Jordan Silk is on one leg. So he comes out to bat with 4 balls left. And so he can't hardly run, poor old Jordan Silk. And he loves his cricket. He's a very good cricketer. And he's been a wonderful contributor to the Sydney Sixers' success. So he waltzes out there with the final over. Now, he's batting with Hayden Kerr, who was pushed up to the top of the order after Josh Phillippe was ruled out with COVID. So Hayden Kerr, who's an all-rounder, bats up to the top of the order and makes 98 not out. And Jordan Silk goes to bat with him. Now, Jordan Silk gets a single, and Hayden Kerr then goes on to hit a six and a two. So they run the two. There's 1 ball left. They know that Jordan Silk can't run. So they decide then to make a change. And they retire Jordan Silk. and that caused a little bit of uproar on social media. Is it in the spirit of the game? It's definitely in the rules of the game. But I don't know why people are carrying on. I think that's fair game. Why not?
I'm confused because I thought, back in the Colac West days, if you were injured while the game was on, fair enough, you can have a runner. But I didn't know you could then, what did he re-injure in that 2 runs he ran and then you could retire the runner?
He wasn't allowed to have a runner. So he went out with one leg. So he wasn't allowed to have a runner under the rules. So he was probably going to be the best option for the Sixers to try and hit a 6 or a 4.
But then he can wander off and get replaced. Well,
yeah, anyone can retire if they want.
Yeah,
it's like that argument with Mark Wall when he'll be on our show tomorrow morning for the forum. But if you've got an opening batsman that's struggling to hit it off the square... and is like 15 off 21 or 15 off 16 or 17, and the match is getting away from you. Like Mark Waugh said, if he was coaching, he would retire that opening batsman and send someone else in.
That is fantastic.
Yeah. So that's basically what they did. They said,
Ricky Ponting called for it, didn't he? And then they did it. He goes, I'll do this. And then, they are doing it.
Yeah, well, 100%. It was a no-brainer in the end. So,
it's a good win. Kerr, again, these are the good stories. People we've never heard of who are good local cricketers who get a shot at it, and then the innings he played is phenomenal.
And Jay Lenton was the man that was the assistant coach. He captains, I think, Manly in district cricket in New South Wales. And when you have a look at the Cricket Australia website and the scorecard, he is still in his Sydney Thunder uniform when he was playing for them a couple of years ago. So he hasn't actually had an official picture with the pink on just yet, Jay Lenton. And Steve O'Keefe did his calf as well. So
I saw that.
Yeah. He's in danger.
So explain to me, because I've been at the tennis, why is Steve Smith not allowed to play? What, he wasn't put on the team sheet 2 months ago or something?
100%. But it doesn't make sense because they have broken the rules throughout the tournament here. They've had players that have played district cricket that have come in and helped and been an SOS for the Melbourne Stars when their team couldn't field a team because of the COVID situation. So it doesn't quite make sense. For the Adelaide Strikers, they both had Alex Carey and Travis Head that played for them in the final series. So I don't think it's the Big Bash organisation or Cricket Australia. It was the CEOs and the other clubs in the Big Bash that didn't want Steve Smith to play. Yeah. And you need star power in this competition. And they had a great opportunity to get a player like Steve Smith into the competition. So, it's disappointing. And it doesn't make sense. And I still haven't been able to get my head around it. So, when they can bring in other players, and they still had a spot available. It's not like they were kicking someone else off.
Well, that's the bit I don't get, There's a spot there. He's played for the club many years.
Yeah,
the managers put him in. Please.
Now, Scotty.
Yes, Gareth.
It's the COVID situation. Are you concerned that this will play havoc like it's playing havoc in the AFLW competition? That it will play havoc in the men's competition when it starts?
Definitely. I think I don't know about the moving of games as much as the poor old women have had to experience. In a way, it's probably good for the AFL to go through what they're going through now. I think they'll be more organised, is probably the right word, and the men's comp have bigger lists, etc. I think they'll be able to cover players easier. I couldn't see venue changes and all this craziness going on. I don't know what's going to happen with your boys over in the West. So I have no idea how they're going to approach that. Whether they are going to have to come and live over here for a few months until your mate McGowan figures himself out. But I think what unfortunately is happening with the women, I think the men's side of it, they'll be more across it, and it'll be chaos with team selection. I don't envisage games getting called off and stuff, though.
Because you can't wager on any sports these days.
No.
I back the Sixers, and it's a risk that you take, but the Sixers would be favourites, I would imagine, against the Scorchers with their available squad. But because they've been hurt a little bit by COVID and they've had other injuries. But so they won't be able to field their best side. But the AFL's like that as well, and you feel for, say, West Coast and Fremantle, because, and the other interstate clubs, my mail is that, so they're allowed to train and they're allowed to play, but apart from that, they are stuck in their hotel rooms.
Really?
Yeah, they can't go out. Or maybe they can go out with one of their teammates, but that's about all, and they have to go back into their hotel rooms.
Now, but
mentally, how do they cope with that?
It's going to be a really strange season.
Yeah.
With punting on football, because they'll be taking tests when they arrive at the ground. So you've got to wait for the team sheet more than you ever have, because, you know, Sam Walsh and Charlie Curnow could arrive at the ground, do their rapid test. Oh, I'm not playing today. Yeah. Oops.
It was like at the Magic Millions there last week. Now, I'm pretty sure that people probably thought they were feeling a little bit, you know, small flu symptoms. So they still waltz up to the sales because they got to buy a horse. And I reckon if everyone had to take a rapid test as they went into the Magic Millions complex, two out of five would have been sent home and isolating in a hotel room or wherever they are staying on the Gold Coast. So there's, and if they're flying on commercial flights, these AFL players, there's going to be cases where people or players do rock up to the game and they do test positive to COVID. Did you back a winner there on the Australia Day program at Caulfield, Scotty?
I watched a couple of the races. I liked the previews. That was quite impressive. Peter Galagotis getting a nice horse is always a bit of fun for the viewers and the excitement around it. It was a nice little meeting. I was quite impressed, actually. How'd you go?
Yeah, it was pretty good. There were so many. I enjoy the two-year-old racing. I love the intrigue, and when you interview the trainers, it's trialled really well, and it's showing signs of a horse that's well above average. But until you basically let them off the bridle, you just don't know what is there, really. And the Galagotis filly showed her class there yesterday when she trialled really nicely in preparation for her debut effort. But when she was asked for a little bit more from Geordie Childs, Miss Rosiana, she found a lot. Written Swoosh was good. Letizia and Waltz on By were solid. There were some good runs behind those first four as well in the Phillies preview. And Domier was also impressive for Godolphin and Anthony and Sam Freeman. Rampant Lion, the Frankel, the son of Frankel, was second, and Philosopher was third. So looking forward to the Preludes now and then the Blue Diamond at the end of February. A few SMSs before we let you go, Scotty. Sister Pass is a coward, Garrett. Don't get sucked in. He will never win. Well, there you go. Someone's done their money on the Sister Pass.
No, coward's a bit harsh, but he does have to get over that psychological step of being a winner. I agree with that.
Scotty, how do you think the B team are going on the breakfast show?
Well, I've got some emails from management which suggest they're struggling, but that's not a surprise given the high bar that was put in place over the summer.
Nick Kyrgios is a jerk and an embarrassment. He incites the crowd to cheer between points and is un-Australian in his play and tactics. That's from Chris.
No, Chris. He's entertainment. He is what he is. We all know what he is. Let's just embrace him.
Good morning, Gareth. Funny personal interest rules with the Sixers sending Silk out and taking him off wasn't a good look for cricket. Cheers, Rhino. I don't think he broke the rules. It wouldn't. They got no chance anyway, Rhino, of winning the competition.
I think you took yourself down deliberately. No, I think they mind something, Gareth.
I didn't mind it. I think it's people say it wasn't in the spirit of the game. I think they made a mistake anyway by sending him out. I think it was advantage for the strikers because he couldn't run anyway and he couldn't hit the ball because the hamstring was hurting his power anyway. So
if the strikers and the drop catches and miss stumpings, they probably would have won that game anyway. Yeah.
I was on the strikers at good odds, cheers, Rhino. And so was I, Rhino, because we took the $17 when Mark Waugh told us as well. So it didn't really bother me who won. Hi, guys. The strikers were Rob. Wide's called on strikers, but not on Sixers. O'Keefe off the field after his four overs. Then he retired hurt. For the first time in my life, I will support the Orange team. That's from James from Morty Alec.
Wow.
Now, you make a point there, James. I don't know about that O'Keefe situation. It did look a little bit dodgy after his four overs. Then he decided to walk off with a calf. So if he does play there on Friday night, that is a little bit dodgy for mine. But in saying that, Hayden Kerr was, there was a misdumping off the first ball for Carey. And then there was a drop catch. Renshaw dropped an absolute dead set sitter when he was on about 35 not out. So they had their opportunities. If they take those opportunities, they simply win. Of course, you thought it was a fair game. Personal interest rules.
I was
on the strikers as well. We've been saying that. It was $700. Yep. And I probably, hey, I'll tell you what, I probably prefer the strikers winning because they would have had a better side than the Sixers on Friday night. Sportsmanship is mythical. Would you come back for the winning run if a throw at the stumps hit you and ricocheted away? Of course you would. That's from Eyes. You make a good point, sure. Your Eyes. Hawley, where is the mighty Mark? Steve, I can't quite understand that SMS. Sorry, Steve. I'll have to read that over and over again just to take that in. But we're running out of time. I appreciate all of those text messages. And Scotty, it's always a pleasure, mate. Enjoy the rest of your day. So you're back at Melbourne Park today.
Yeah, back there. Ash tonight, big night, obviously, and a big day, as we mentioned, Dylan Alcott going for his last ever match, and then the Special K's doing their thing. So, big day.
So just quickly, who gets more views on the Herald Sun website? Like your editor, are they more on the Kyrgios and Kokkinakis bandwagon than Barty? Who sells more newspapers these days?
Today I'd say Kyrgios would.
Okay. There you go. I find that interesting. Good on your screen.
Correct. See you, mate.